Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Mike's on. He's ready to go.
On the Fan.
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on. Mike's on.
Sports any way that he can. It's Mike Francesa
on the Fan. Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM WFAN.
All right, on this July 2nd, we come to you as always at 6 o'clock, brought to you by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by Those Who Drink It. We'll take you right up until 7 o'clock. For a lot of folks, this is the start of the holiday weekend this evening. A lot of them don't work tomorrow. Wall Street's closed tomorrow because the holiday falls on the 4th. So a lot of things are closed on the 3rd. But I can tell you, it doesn't really feel like a real holiday weekend. It doesn't feel like a real 4th of July to me. I think it's just what's led up to it and what's still going on. And today, you turn on the news, as I was just watching a minute ago before I came on the air, and already at 5 o'clock, there are more cases today in this country than have ever been in the history of the pandemic. So already by 5 o'clock today, they've already broken the all-time record. They're at 53,000, and they haven't even finished counting yet. So the numbers, and Florida is going crazy. I remember when we had all the trouble and Florida had nothing. And I was like, wow, maybe we should go to Florida because we have a home there. And I was like, wow, you know, maybe that's what we should be operating out of. And we stayed up here and it was crazy for a while. And now look what's going on with Florida. I mean, Florida has over 10,000 cases today. And remember, Florida is going to be very important. It's going to be important from a baseball standpoint. It's going to be incredibly important from an NBA standpoint. NBA spent over $150 million on this whole concept. And Orlando is one of the hotspots. Orlando, Tampa, and South Carolina, Charleston. San Antonio has become a real hotspot. Obviously, on the West Coast, you have issues in California and Arizona. So, I mean, the numbers are staggering, and you don't know if that plays it plays somewhat into whether these team sports get started. Here's what I will tell you about this. And you heard Manfred put his foot in his mouth again. I don't know who's worse in front of a microphone, Manfred or Goodell. I mean, when they are both there and they have not got a script with them, which they're going to stick exactly to the script, they both get themselves in a lot of trouble. And Manfred has gotten himself repeatedly into trouble here. But what people, there's two things about this that I think people haven't paid enough attention to. Number one, the power of the NFL. These other leagues found out that they just couldn't go just flying into NFL season and find friendly networks. The networks are like, hey, do not mess with our NFL coverage. Do not fool with our, we're going to the NFL. We don't care what you're displaying. We don't want your games. We're doing the NFL. And that's what they found out, which is why you have the golf change that you have with Fox and NBC. And that's what baseball found out. Baseball found out nobody wanted them past Halloween. Nobody wanted any part of them. It wasn't like, oh, play the World Series till Christmas. They were like, no, we don't want you anywhere near November. So that's what baseball found out. They weren't welcome in that part of the year. Now, we don't know what's going to happen as far as what's going to actually be being played in November, because right now, 2 weeks is forever when it comes to what's going on in the world. Anything can change within 2 weeks radically. Here's what I will tell you. There's a chance that these team sports will not start. Is it a good chance? I don't know. I would put it somewhere at 60, 40, maybe even 70, 30 that they do start. But let me tell you this. If they start, especially in the cases of baseball and football, if they start, they will finish. It will take Armageddon to get them to stop. Because the cost to the owners, if they start and don't finish, is extraordinary. Baseball has to get to the playoffs. They have to. Those are the promises they made. They have to get to the playoffs. This whole thing doesn't work unless they get to the playoffs. And for football, they do not, the football would rather cancel than stop and start. They do not want to start and stop because that's going to be extremely costly to them. And I'm telling you, if these things, people have said, what will stop it? And we all want them to define what will stop it. I don't think they ever will define what will stop it, because I don't think they want to be held to any rule about what will shut them down. If this happens, we get shut down. If this many players, hey, baseball's not even going to tell you when a player's out. They're not even going to tell you if he's out because of he got the virus. They're not even telling you that. He could have a pulled hamstring. He could be sick with the virus. They're not telling you. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen as far as who's sitting out and why. I think they're going to speculate everybody has the virus, but it's not going to be the case. There's going to be some players that are going to be hurt. We know that's the case year after year. And this year you might have a lot of players that aren't in the condition that they might have hoped to be in, or you know they haven't been watched day in and day out. So some of them, you got to figure, haven't worked as hard. That's just human nature. But what you can count on is if they start, and especially in the cases of baseball and football, if they start, they will finish. It will take, I'm telling you, something extraordinary in terms of what's going on in this country for them to stop. They will play through it. They will play through a lot. I don't know where the NBA stands on that. I would think it's probably the same. I really can't say for sure about that, but I would say I know it's the truth about football. They do not want to stop and start. They do not want interruptions. They want to, if they're going to start, they want to play right through. They don't want to stop. And I know for baseball, none of this works if they don't get to the playoffs. So once they do start, they're going to do everything within their power. Everything, look the other way, just not worry about it. Look at the size of the rosters. You could be playing with a team, could be playing with a whole bunch. Now, some of these teams play with a whole bunch of minor leaguers anyway, as you know. Because, you know, look at the teams that are furnished sometimes at the bottom of the league. There's not a lot of talent there. Especially when you compare it to what, you know, the Yankees or the Dodgers might have. And from that standpoint, they are going to play. They do not want to stop if they start. Now, that's why you still have a chance they won't go. Because that is an alternative they can live with. The alternative they can't live with is start and then stop. That is what they don't want any part of. And that's come out enormously. And the other part is that all these leagues have found out what the pecking order is. When the NFL is in full gear, and that's November, get out of its way. We are not interested in changing one iota of our NFL programming in any way. Nothing tops that. Not your playoffs, not your championships, nothing. So don't think that you're going to be welcomed in open arms in the middle of November. You're not. And I'm sure that's a, I don't know if that's a cold slap of reality or not. I think most of them realize that have dealt with the NFL and dealt with the networks about the NFL, but that's the way it is. So you have 9 more players testing positive with the NBA, which brings in number to 25. Is that a lot? It really depends who the 25 are. More than anything else, it depends. You know, in that league, how many of the top 8 on each team are you attacking with the virus? That's really what it comes down to. So there are still a lot of question marks as they head into the holiday weekend. And like I said a couple of days ago, July is going to be about waiting. And if you're a fan, waiting and hoping that you can get to the end of the month, or in the case of baseball, get to July 23rd, which will be the first game the Yankees will play. And you wonder what Manfred's motivation was in the interview that he gave, because when Silva talks, he has a message. Silva's smart. He's really smart. When he talks and he has a method to his madness. He knows why he wants to say something. He wanted everyone to know that we still have an out before the season starts. That's what he wanted everybody to know the other night when he gave that quasi interview at the Time magazine thing. He wanted everyone to know that we still have an out. Meanwhile, we're not looking to take the out. We've already spent a lot of money. We hope to get this done. They're also a little worried about the visual in Orlando, where they're playing basketball all day and their numbers are skyrocketing in that city. 10,000 cases already today in the state of Florida. And remember, Florida is an incredibly populated state. I mean, it's not like the old days of Florida. Florida is now, you know, within, you know, a very short time, Florida's going to leave New York in the dust in terms of population. Texas, the same thing, exploding. California, long ago. So, I mean, the shift towards the south and the southwest is enormous in terms of population. That's well underway, and it's getting bigger and bigger all the time. Just look at the electoral college, that's all you need to look at. But the bottom line is, what's going on in Florida right now has got to worry both baseball and the NBA. As we said, we'll chat a little baseball with Keith Hernandez when we come back after this. All right, we welcome in Keith Hernandez as we get closer, inch closer on this holiday weekend to baseball, hopefully in 3 weeks. Keith, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. I'm a little bored.
But, I'm sure.
I can find things to do. It's kind of odd. I'm out here, and I got back on the 20th. I came up, and before the restriction on Florida from the governor, and I haven't been able to enjoy my house here and do the chores around the house, and so I've been busying myself with things that I have never done before. I'm having actually a little bit of fun with it.
Keith, I just looked up to see your age because I was seeing, and I thought you were in the same age group as me. As a matter of fact, you're the same age as me. But what I didn't realize, and I'm sure you know, you're born on Mickey Mantle's birthday.
Oh, let me take it a step further. You know who else is born on my birthday?
Who?
Juan Marichal.
Is that true? I didn't know that. I mean, I always look for guys who are born on Mickey Mantle's birthday because I always look, when you're a kid, you always look to see who's born on your birthday. The only player I ever saw who was born on my birthday, and I know people who were born on my birthday, Pat Riley, Spike Lee, but I always looked at Major League as the only one was George Altman. Remember George Altman?
George Altman could hit.
Yeah, he could. A good lefty power hitter. But I looked at it and I said, my God, Keith's born on Mickey Mantle's birthday.
That's why he was my idol.
Really? I figured he's everybody's idol, so he was probably, I know your dad was a big part of your life in baseball, but I figured he was like every father loved Mickey Mantle, but I didn't realize. So you grew up, how old were you when you realized Mickey Mantle and you shared the same birthday?
I don't know the age, but when my dad, as a fireman in San Francisco, would come home in baseball season and bring home, when there were 5 cents a pack with bubble gum, he would bring home around 10 packs of, or 20 packs of bubble gum of baseball cards. And when I got my first Mickey Mantle card, I turned around the back, of course, and read the bio, and I saw October 20th, and I flipped. So So here I just pulled up on Baseball Reference Juan Marichal. Juan Marichal born October 20th, 1937.
Wow.
Juan will be 83.
I mean, that's some nice that's some nice baseball power. I mean, Mickey Mantle, Juan Marichal, and Keith Hernandez all born on the same baseball day. That's a nice baseball day.
Well, I'm the least of the trio.
Yeah, but you were a heck of a player, so that's still a nice trio. It still is. You know that I understand the other two were, you know, and Mantle was an immortal, but I understand. But, you know, that's good company to keep. It really is.
I am very, very, very pleased that I'm born on the same day as Juan Marichal and Mickey Mantle.
You know, I was at the game, Keith, in 1969. At the time, I took my girlfriend at the time. We took the LIR and I was a Yankee fan. Took it to Shea Stadium, and Juan Marichal hooked up with Gentry in that classic 14 inning game that AG won with the homer. And Marichal pitched the entire game that night.
Yeah.
I sat there and could not believe that he stayed in that game. Now, he never walked anybody, as we know, but what a masterful pitcher.
Now, the closest windup to anything that I've ever seen with Marichal, with the big leg kick, and they said that, you know, he had to practice that, and he used to practice that in front of a mirror, and that was so extreme with that leg kick, and the closest thing to it was Fernando Valenzuela.
Interesting. Amazing thing about him was he didn't walk anybody.
No, he was a master. And he had a screwball, curveball, and he was just, I grew up with Juan Marichal in San Francisco. He was a great pitcher.
All right, as a baseball purist, how do you feel about everything as you get ready for the game? Have you digested everything? You feel okay with everything?
I feel that I wish it was 80 games, a half a season, but we'll take what we got. I think 60, anything less than 60 is going to be a stretch. I'm just glad we have baseball. I just really think the country needs it. I think the fans need it. They're chomping at the bit. And I think it's going to be a good thing for the health of the country to see baseball.
How about the way you're going to have to work? Are you comfortable with that?
Well, we're going to be social distanced. Gary is going to be in a booth by himself, our home booth. Obviously, you know we're not going to go on the road.
Right.
That's a whole different animal right there.
Right.
Ron and I are going to have probably, I guess, plexiglass between us, and we're going to be in the visitor's booth right next door. Gary is only going to have the, I'm not sure if it's a statistician or it's going to be the... I can't think of the name of the title. Gosh, the title of the job. But they hand him the copy to read the commercials.
The producer.
It's going to be home games. We're going to be able to watch. Road games, we're going to get like the Olympics. We're going to get an international feed from MLB, and it's going to be the home broadcast. So I just talked with my producer today, and it's going to be where normally when I'm talking about, say, Luis Rojas, the camera will immediately pan a close-up of Luis Rojas because we're talking about him.
Right.
We're going to get the feed from the visiting team, so... It may be showing their manager. We're talking about
right.
Their manager,
and that's always difficult. But that's a little stuff that fans don't even realize. But that's going to be a little difficult for you guys. There's nothing you really can do about it. You know,
we have one thing I understand. Our director will be in studio, and he will be able to have one camera where he'll be able to home feed when we're on the road, when the team's on the road, and if it's important enough. My producer said, "Greg Picker," is that it's hard to bump out of that MLB feed. It's going to be a delay. But our director, John DeMarsico, will have that option. Okay, this is too important. we're going to break out of the MLB feed, but it's going to be a couple beats behind our conversation. So it's going to be a real challenge for us as far as broadcasting.
What do you think about, what's on with Keith Hernandez, of course, as a former player and an all-star player, what do you think the hardest thing for players is going to be? Do you think it's going to be a very difficult transition for them back to the field, or do you think it's not going to be that big a deal?
I'm hopeful, Mike, that this will create a new bond between fans and today's players. The game has become so corporate and personal that I think that the players, I mean, playing in front of nobody, at least when you went to Candlestick Park, when the Giants were horrible in the 70s, and it was freezing cold, and maybe you had 5,000 people in the stadium, maybe. Or after they traded Seaver that first year after in 78, what was it, 78 or 77, I forget.
Yep. Yeah, the days of Craig Swan.
Well, it's just the fans, they weren't there. And as a player, you had to coming from St. Louis, where we play in front of 30 on weekdays, and, you know, at least 20 and 50 on the weekends, you had to go there and, okay, I've got to mentally get myself where I'm pumped up to play this game and I'm going to be pumped up throughout the nine innings. They're not going to have anything. They're going to have no feed, nothing to draw off of. It's going to be like a B game in spring training.
Yeah, that is going to be very, very odd. The other thing I wonder about is such a routine game for you guys. You play every day. You have such a rhythm to how you play. Your body has a rhythm to how you play once the season starts. Do you think it's going to be hard for players, considering the amount of time they've been off, to jump into it even 3 weeks from now?
No, I think that if it's July 24th or 23rd or whatever the date is, it'll be like the season was going to start March 25th. It's opening day. I went through that strike year in 81. At that point, it was the longest strike interruption of play in professional sports history, and it wound up being two half seasons, if you remember.
Yep, I remember, yep.
I actually did nothing, because Marvin Miller told us, even if you work out, say you're not working out, we want to get the owners back to the table to negotiate. And if you're out working out and you're staying ready, I remember Marvin saying this, then that's going to make my job more difficult, and we need to get a deal done. And if you guys are united and saying, hey, we're just sitting back here doing nothing, I'm not working out, that'll get them back to the table fast enough. So I was kind of shocked that the players were working out and made it pretty public. I thought it was not a good move from a negotiating point of view, going from my experience in 81. So I think they're going to be ready to play. They'll just pick it up like it's late March. I have a hard time saying late March. I usually want to say early April. But I think they'll be fine. I know when I came back, and I really didn't work out at all, and I hit 300 the second half, I just picked it up where it was left off. We knew that at that point we had finished second in the first half to the Phillies, I think, or whatever, and then they made the decision that it wasn't going to be the best record over the whole season. It was going to be the two halves. So we had something to play for in the second half, so we were ready to go. So, and I had a good second half.
We're talking with Keith Hernandez, of course, who you'll hear on the Met Games, and you'll be very happy to have he and Ron and Gary come back in 3 weeks, hopefully, if we keep our fingers crossed. No one's mentioned this, Keith, but I thought about it today and thinking about things to talk about with you today. The season's going to start in 3 weeks. Everyone said it's going to be like spring training. Players can get ready in 21 days. When you get ready, you walk into 40-degree days, 35-degree days, wintry days, windy days, cold days, damp, rainy days. You're going to walk into 95-degree heat. Is that going to help pitchers? Is that going to help hitters?
I think it's going to hurt everybody. These players are in great shape today. They work out more than we did. I mean, when I was finally at 28, when I realized that I just couldn't take 5 months off and 6 months off, and or 5 months off and do nothing. That I'm not 20 years old anymore. And then I started running cross country, long distance. So I came into spring in shape. But there is no substitute to being in Florida in spring training and as your manager builds you up to playing 9 innings. And I know people say, well, all you do is stand around. You're out in the field. You may not have any activity the whole inning. When it's hot and you're standing out there and you've got a long inning or it's a slugfest where you're out there standing, that's the worst thing is standing and no activity. That wears you down more than anything as opposed to going 5 for 5 and hitting a cycle where you're running around the bases like a crazy man. You can do that. You're conditioned for that. But the standing, and it's the stamina that has to be built up, that's concerning to me. They have 3 weeks to do it, and they're going to, and this is all new territory. They're going to have to gauge how they're going to, okay, I would play, I get one at bat the first week, first week of games, I get 1-2 at bats, I'm out. Then it would be 3 at-bats in the second week, and I'd be playing 6 innings, and then I'd be playing 8 innings, and then 9 innings the last 2 weeks. It was a gradual buildup. You don't have that this year. So the fact that the players are in such great shape, more probably to play, I think it will be easier for them. But I do think coming back in the heat of the summer is not a positive.
Would you hit in these 3 weeks as you got ready? Would you, if this was you and how you handled your career, would you hit a ton in these games in every day? Would you hit every day? Would you hit a lot every day? Would you be very cautious in how much you did every day? How would you handle it?
What do you mean as far as?
I guess getting ready. I mean, just using these 3 weeks right now. If you were coming back today and it was you and you were getting ready to play July 23rd, under these conditions, how would you handle it? Would you do a ton of work every day or would you be very cautious about what you did every day?
Well, I think the better question is, what would I have done during this lull? When there's no... Spring training is going to be very regimented, Mike. Evidently, I mean, the coaches are going to have their hands full, and the managers, it's going to be 3 groups, so it's going to be all day.
Right.
3 separate groups because of distancing. But spring training is going to be regimented, so I have no say. What am I going to tell Luis Rojas, because I'm Keith Hernandez, you know, and, I'm only...
Well, I mean, you can do an hour extra hitting if you want, you're Keith Hernandez. I mean, would you do a ton of hitting? Would you be...
Because I would have been probably, if I was playing today...
You would have hit.
Let's just say if I did nothing,
right.
I would take extra BP, yes. But the minute I thought on my groove, and I'd find it before 3 weeks.
You would?
Oh, definitely.
Do you think these guys hit a lot, or do you think they just ran and stayed in shape? Do you think they hit a lot in the last over these weeks? You do? Okay.
Absolutely. These guys live, eat, and sleep. They're stadium rats.
So you think they've been? You think these guys are ready to go anyway? Most of them, right?
Yes, and I just think the hitters will be easier to come around than the pitchers, and the reason why I say that, and Ron Darling, you were on our podcast today on a Facebook Live and SNY,
right?
Ron felt the pitchers, the hitters, were going to have a harder time, and I disagreed. I can take BP, and I can get live pitching if I want, which I wouldn't. All I need is. I was a rhythmic hitter. Just get me. I'll take BP, and I'll have my timing, and then I'll dial it up a notch when I got to face the.
Could you hit off a machine? Would you hit off a machine, or would you rather hit off live pitching?
Hitting off a machine.
You didn't like hitting off machine. Okay.
No, I needed a live arm. Machine's like a robot. It's no. It's mechanical. I need to see emotion.
Okay.
And it's just who I am. I'm not a mechanical hitter. The pitchers, they can fall on the side.
Right.
All they want.
They weren't throwing the hitters. Yeah.
But yeah. Seventh inning, protecting a one-run lead, runners on second and third, one out, and you got to make your precise pitches? It's not that easy.
What do you think of the new rules? Are you against the I know you're probably against the DH being a National League your whole life. Are you against the DH or are you okay with the DH?
I'm okay with it this year, but it's going to be the end of it for the National League, and I'm very sad about that. Because, Mike, come on. managers have to manage from the seventh inning on or sixth inning on in a game. You got to make moves. The DH, you can have Roger Clemens or Kershaw. I'll be contemporary. All right, Kershaw's out there, gives up four runs in the first. His team pecks away, and it's the seventh inning. You don't have to pinch hit for him. You can keep him in the game. He gave up the great pitchers. You get him early, right? And now you got a great pitcher. He gets up four runs and all of a sudden throws up six straight goose eggs. You going to take him out? Heck no. He can stay in. But when he's got a hit, you got a pinch hit for him.
All right, so you're anti-DH. How about the other rules? I think the other rules are awful. Do you like any of them?
I'll tell you what I don't like.
Second base?
I don't like the having the relief pitchers to face three batters.
Oh, I think it's the worst thing in the world.
No.
I think it ruins strategy. It takes a whole group of players out of the game.
I will meet baseball halfway. Okay, you want to speed up the game. They do their cost-benefit analysis. Give me a break. They want the fans in there, these longer games. They spend more money. Give me a break. The game is too long, I agree. But from the seventh inning on, a manager should be able to manage a ball game. If I got Mike Trout up and he's leading off the inning, I have a right-hander, and then I got a big bat behind him, he's left-handed, I should be able to bring
absolutely
a left-hander to face him. And if there's a right-hander behind him, I should be able
100%
to bring a right-hander to get him.
I hate the rule. And you know what you're going to see? You're going to see a lot of intentional passes because that's how they're going to get around the three-batter rule.
Four pitches, right, Mike?
Right, that's it. But that's how it's going to be. And worse than that is the thing at second base. I think that's atrocious.
Oh, in the extra innings.
Oh, please.
Well, you know what the percentage on that is, right?
Yeah.
Last year it was over 60% of the runs scored when they started at second base. And a leadoff double, okay? So which is what it's essentially going to be this year. So over 60% scored. And with, on last season, when there was no one on base, a normal at bat, only it was like a little over 20%. So
yeah.
I don't like it. So again,
I hate it. I hate it. And the reason why that people, the reason why that's gone that way in extra innings is because everybody tries to hit a home run.
Mike, it's nuts. And Gary made a good point today. Gary Cohen made a very good point that you're going to have an expanded roster.
Yep.
What, are you going to have 30, and then after 2 weeks, 28, then after 2 weeks, 26? Am I correct?
Yes. Yep.
Why would you not have, like, a base stealer?
You would.
And he would be your extra inning guy to steal third base.
Absolutely. He'd have a job. That's what the first thing you do is go find someone who can be an automatic base stealer. Absolutely. I agree.
It was Miguel DeLon with Montreal and the Pirates.
Herb Washington in the old days.
Yes.
Absolutely. Billy Hamilton will be a star.
Yep.
I agree. I think those rules are awful. The DH, we can argue all day. The bottom line is the other two rules, the three-batter rule and the other rule in extra innings, are dreadful rules. Absolutely dreadful rules. I don't like either one of them.
Well, Mike, it's going to be we're like Captain Kirk. We're going to go where no man has gone before.
Give me a thought on the Mets before you go. Do you like the configuration of the team? Do you have high hopes for the for the team?
I like this team. They got great camaraderie. They're young, good nucleus. You're only as good as your last at bat. When the season's over, it's a new season. You got to do it again. And the true test of greatness is consistency over years. So if everybody performs the way they did last year, I think offensively with the DH, with Cespedes, the Mets are very formidable. It's a very formidable lineup. And I think with this extra time off, it's helped Betances. He's given him more time off. We'll see what happens. It's going to all be about the bullpen. I like what Brody has done as far as picking up veterans. Jared Hughes, Hunter Strickland. These are guys that are there. Buck Showalter said, and I know you read the article, but Buck Showalter came out, and I respect Buck's opinion on baseball. is that the teams that are going to win are the teams that are going to protect their pitchers and have the least injuries to their pitching staff.
Yep. And I agree. What would be not advice, but what would be the one thing you think, if anything, that the big first baseman's going to have to guard against this year after such a brilliant first season? What's the one thing? I mean, he's human. So, and the sophomore jinx is something that's always hit, that has hit many players. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But what is the big thing you think he has to guard against?
He's not going to hit 50 home runs this year.
if he does, you got a heck of a story.
Oh my God! just not try to do too much. And I saw him last year. You know, it's sometimes a rookie's. How many? We've been in this game a long time, Mike. You've observed. I've played, and I've also observed. Oh, there's a Joe Charbonneau comes to mind. Those flash in the pans.
Yep.
Pete is very focused. He's got a good knowledge of the strike zone. He just has to stay within himself. That second half of the season when he went to the All-Star game, he never slumped in the first half of a season. A power hitter. McNeil never slumped, but McNeil's like a Rod Carew. But not a power hitter like what Mike Bennett called him, Bam Bam. When he came off and he hit the home run derby and he won and all the hoopla and he came back, I was worried, and he got off to a slow start coming off. And I was watching to see if he'd wilt and crumble under the... He didn't. He stayed within himself. He didn't chase pitches. And the only time he started chasing pitches last year was when he had 49 home runs. And that is understandable. I mean, 50 home runs, my God. That's Mickey Mantle.
I mean, Alonso was an amazing player and an amazing personality. He handled things brilliantly last year.
So all he's got to do, he's got a great idea at the plate. Stay there. They may pitch around him. Don't forget, he's going to have Conforto hitting behind him. This is a lineup, and it's a balanced lineup. He's going to have a left. Hey, you want to walk me? He's just got to take his walk. You can't go out of the strike zone and stay aggressive. And if they want to walk me, think in terms of team. Okay, I'm on first base. I can score. I got Conforto and then Cespedes behind me. You want to pitch around me? Go. Take your chances with those. I'm going to score off the guys behind me.
You think about the guys who burst on the scene. You mentioned Charbonneau. Jimmy Hall. Remember Jimmy Hall? Canigliaro got hurt, so it's hard to say if he would have been great or not. A lot of people up in New England always think Canigliaro would have been a great, great player. I was a little young then, but he was impressive, obviously, early on before he got hit in the head. Remember Moss with the Yankees early with those home runs he hit the first year he came up? You think about these guys, who these one-hit wonders, you know, but this guy looks like he's the real thing. He really does.
He's confident. What do you think? I do think there can be a shot sophomore jinx, and it's because when you're a rookie, nothing's expected of you.
Yeah, I think expectations is one. He's clearly the leader of the team. That's one. And number two, I think you said it best. They're going to make him chase bad pitches. He's got to make sure he doesn't get into the habit of doing it.
And you know, I had a conversation. Steve Carlton never said two words to me the whole 17 years I played. And all of a sudden, I run across Steve in Philadelphia how many years ago? And he doesn't shut up. So I asked him, I said, why don't you always throw me slider, slider, slider? And he said, Keith, he goes, I knew that you couldn't. You hit two home runs. He remembered. You hit two home runs off me. I thought I could sneak a fastball by you inside. So I was never going to do that again. I knew if I threw that slider away that you were just going to get a base hit or a double to left field. If there was no one on base, you weren't going to hurt me, depending on the situation of the game. He said, and if I could get you to chase, my job is to expand the strike zone. And I never thought of it because I'm thinking as a hitter offensively.
Yep.
And I had
yep.
a good eye at the plate. You know that. I didn't chase foot pitches.
Right.
So they're going to try to see if Pete, they're going to try to expand the strike zone on
No him. Question. No question. And you said it, the expectations. There's a lot of expectations now in year two, a whole bunch. And he clearly is the face of the franchise. So that's a lot to handle. He's still a young guy, so it's going to be interesting to watch. Listen, it's fun to talk baseball again. I hope we're there in 3 weeks. And stay healthy, okay? We'll talk soon.
Okay, Mike. Good to talk with you.
Thank you, Keith, very much.
Be safe.
Thank you very much. Keith Hernandez, back after this. All right, not a great field in the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. I picked Fowler. I didn't want to pick DeChambeau. He's the favorite. He was a chalk at 5-1. You thought he'd be there. Right now, after one round, you have three guys at 7-under led by Kisner and Stallings. You got DeChambeau at 6-under. He was 7. He dropped to 6. You got Ricky Fowler leading a host at 5. You have 24 golfers that are either 5, 6, or 7-under, so all in the mix. Not a great field. And I thought this would be like kind of a week where Fowler was 25-1 in one place, 28-1 in the other place. I thought maybe it was a good week for him to get going. So we'll see if he does. He's 5-under. After one round, they'll tear this up again. The winner will be in the 20s. I mean, that's on all these courses until we get to the big tournaments. You know, they just tear these courses up. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, DeChambeau hit a drive 400 yards. I know we probably had a lot of roll last week, but they marked it at over 400 yards. I mean, that's just insane. It really is. I mean, I understand it had plenty of roll to it, but still, it's an incredible, incredible drive. It really is. Holiday weekend, as I said, tomorrow, the Wall Street's closed as an example. A lot of other stuff is closed, too. For a lot of you, I know the holiday weekend starting tonight. So drive safely and enjoy it to the best of your ability this weekend, considering all the stuff we're living through right now. And on this day today, we are, you know, 3 weeks away. 3 weeks away from baseball. Hopefully it happens. The Yankees scheduled to play on the 23rd. Everybody underway by the 24th. So, you know, this is the month and the weeks of waiting coming up the next couple of weeks, other than a couple of events and some horse racing and some golf and a couple other things. There's not much going on for another couple of weeks, but hey, we should have a very, very active August, a very unusual August, if everything keeps to where they can at least get it going. And I know their motivation is to do that. It really is. We'll see if that's the case. Yesterday was the 33rd anniversary on the exact date of the Fan. The Fan has put together a lot of shows over the weekend. They have special tribute shows, like there's a Mike and the Mad Dog Hour Sunday night. There's hours for a couple other shows. There's also, you know, Ross Salzberg and Steve Summers, who at times fought a lot, but they're coming back to do an hour together. They're both too old to fight now. So Eddie and Dave Sims are doing a show together. There's a whole bunch of people working this weekend that obviously that either were Fan originals or did shows for a long time on the Fan. So if you feel nostalgic this weekend, you can look back on hearing some of the stuff that was part of the history of the Fan. Maybe some of the sound bites, maybe some of the highlights of games. And I know a lot of the show stuff will be displayed this weekend through Sunday. We'll be back with you on Monday. And then I think I'm off the week of the 13th. Yeah, I am off the week of the 13th. So I'll be back the week next week. I'll be with you at 6, and then I'm off the week after that. Still, it's a couple of weeks where it's about taking one more step to get closer and watching and see what the surrounding areas are doing, see what's happening, see where, you know, things are getting better, where things are getting worse, and see if they can actually get this off the ground. Like I said, once they get it off the ground, they are going to be extremely reluctant to stop. It's going to take a lot for them to stop. And that's why I think you will see them be very, very hidden or very even cryptic about what their protocols will be that will shut them down. I don't think they want to make that hard and fast rules. I think they would rather leave it open to interpretation and see where it takes them. And only in the worst case scenarios will they go in that direction, because that's not what they want to do. If they get started, they want to continue. For baseball, they want to get to the playoffs. For the NFL, they want to have a full season. We don't know about college football yet. College football, remember, has to deal with the fact that they can't have college athletes on the campus playing and practicing if there's no students on the campus. That's a look they can't get past. I mean, we understand that college sports is big business, billion-dollar business, and that many of those players, not all of them, some of them are diligent student athletes, but others are just using that as a vehicle to the NFL. We understand that. Okay, there's some both. But that cannot be the message that the university sends or the college sends. So they have to be very careful with how that happens. And I've heard a lot of different things, including a college football season that would begin in November and finish in March, or begin in December and finish in March. That is a distinct possibility. Don't know yet where they are as far as that goes. We have not heard a lot yet about college, because college is much trickier. And plus, remember, college doesn't have the seed money to do what, say, the NBA has done, or to have the resources that the NFL has. They have money. Some of these schools have a lot of money. But again, doing it at every one of these schools, not easy to do and extremely expensive. And you're dealing with, in those cases, you know, 70 and 80 man teams. I mean, those are, you know, those are very, very big outfits in major college football. You know, there's a lot of people there. So, and you're not even counting coaches and student, you know, equipment managers and all different trainers and all different staff and everything else. I mean, it's a lot of people that outfit a college football team. So, again, we don't know where that's going to lead us. JJ's next. We will be with you tomorrow night to kind of start off the 4th of July weekend, so I'll be with you at 6. Casamigos Tequila, as always, brings you the program. Have a good evening. We'll see you tomorrow.